WBBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Back into the third hour of the Barden Report. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. DJ Barden is my name, and I should give out the number if you want to comment on anything we're discussing here. And it's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And I was reading a piece. This guy, Joe Jarvis, writing this carry-on by handling big money. Guess which bank just froze my funds over a simple transfer? I'm talking about buying or importing and exporting stuff and handling amounts. It doesn't matter if you're handling £500 or £5 million. They're quite liable to do it. They did a complicated transaction from Chile to the United States to Ireland and applied the goods, got the money in. I said, over the past decade, banks in the U.S., have really started to abuse their status as critical financial intermediaries. A big part of this is because banks are under intense pressure from the federal government to stamp out money laundering, terrorist financing, tax evasion, and criminal activities. And fine. Well, the HSBC Bank was admitted it was the biggest money laundering operation, drug money laundering operation in the world, and they paid an appropriate fine. Who's the fox and who are the chickens? These are reasonable objections to pursue, but their execution has been dismal. Unable to tell for certain whether that $5,000 wire transfer to Aunt Sally was for legitimate purposes or part of some grand tax evasion scheme, banks have defaulted to be suspicious. We won that everything. Deposit or withdraw a few thousand dollars in cash from your own account. Well, just try that for size. Suspicious. Make an investment in a private business they've never heard of. Suspicious. Transfer funds to another account. Same country. Example is suspicious. On your account by the bank. Electronically, obviously. Raise money from investors to launch a new business. Suspicious. In my case, the bank thought sending money to the UK was suspicious. Apparently, these guys think London is the hotbed of financial terrorism. Well, it's the biggest financial center in the world. I'd rather not say which bank was giving us so much trouble since he has his work for Wells Fargo and a bunch of us out. But I'd rather not say which bank was giving us so much trouble since they're basically all the same. But to give you a hint, the names begins with Wells and ends in Fargo. That's the part that really gets me. It's not like the money was being sent to ISIS or Syria, etc., etc. This transfer was coming from the impeccable source, going to a well-established regulator. And just to interject here, these travel agents who handle MoneyGram and all these other systems, transfer systems in Muslim areas, they're handling millions and millions and millions of dollars a year, and nobody goes near them. In fact, there was a bank raid on one here about 10 years ago where two junior female officers were sent to the site. Travel agency was being robbed, and they sent two unarmed junior police officers, and they were murdered at the scene. Up in Yorkshire. He said, yes, instead, some munchkin brain in the bank's compliance department decided he wasn't comfortable with the transfer. And so, without any actual reason or evidence, Mr. Rockstar compliance guy denied a perfectly legitimate transaction. And then, just to be extra certain that he was saving the world, froze the funds. I had to put one of my staff on a plane and fly for 8 hours to the United States to get the money unstuck. Completely ridiculous waste of time and money. It's one thing to be a vigilante against terrorism. It's entirely another to constantly work against your own customers without criticizing, without exercising any common sense or basic professionalism. And it goes on to say, it didn't used to be that way. There was once a time when bankers were sophisticated, et cetera, you know. But anyway, that's another story, but also a big scale. But I'm hearing that more and more from small people like myself. A bank account being suddenly frozen, and one of the ones top of the list of doing it is Lloyds Bank and Santander in Britain here. And today I was reading an article about 400 cash machines a week being shut down in the UK. They're trying to get rid of cash. But Big Shoot said free starter targeted for financial censorship by Strip Payment Processor. This is called tech giants trying to prevent people starting up, even small companies, to compete with them. Slightly complicated article here. There's a little Z writing this. I'll just do a little bit of it. But tech giants are now trying to trample on all those below them. If you don't like the way a business operates, you will always free dart your own, at least in America. However, some of the services that companies in the tech space rely on are doing something very un-American by making it difficult for those businesses whose policies they disagree with. Free Start was set up to help people raise money for creative, social, journalistic, and charitable projects, particularly those that have been censored or banned on other platforms or exercising free speech. Widely viewed as a free speech alternative to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, which has discriminated against conservative voices in the past, its star has been rising until payment processor Stripe, S-T-R-I-P-E, put the brakes on for its political reasons. The CEO of Freestart, award-winning investigative journalist Charles C. Johnson, expressed his disappointment in the decision, writing an open letter to the website about the problem of tech apartheid. He said that his company had a record low chargebacks, I don't know what that is. So Stripe's move was clearly a political one, especially when you consider that other companies whose accounts were also suspended at the same time happened to be created by supporters of Trump as well. Johnson said freestarts.com stands for the Bill of Rights. He's going into a lot of detail here. Something that he feels the founder is quite good. Anyway, what they're saying is tech companies are trying to block people down the line, starting up even fledgling companies, etc. And they're mentioning YouTube here. YouTube apparently is being targeted. Well, this started, a new version of YouTube by a startup by Mike Adam, real.video.com, live, with very, very good conditions, and you can book a video channel on that. And if you go to naturalnews.com and look at real.video.com, because there's a short article here about the YouTube carry-on. Another firm that found itself on the receiving end of financial censorship at the hands of Stripe was a peer-to-peer content sharing service, BitChute, an alternative to YouTube. So that in their cancellation notice, Stripe said they're politically neutral, but their financial partners objected to the business model BitChute. BitChute founder Ray Vahinvehi pointed out that their account was in good standing and that they had any rules or laws, nor have they been subject to any questions. A so-called alternative to YouTube started doing the very same thing as Canada, censoring people. It's not surprising to see people creating YouTube alternatives, given that the video streaming set track record when it comes to demonetizing and even outright deleting conservative channels. They've even gone after National News in the past. Mike Adams, the health major and National News founder, has started his own alternative to YouTube, the video, which I mentioned, and is planning to launch it in July. And like YouTube, it will welcome free speech, independence, science, and independent journalism. Sure. It doesn't stop there, by the way. There are lots of examples of financial institutions shutting out those whose political beliefs appear to be different from their own. Intuit, INTUIT, has stopped processing payments via credit cards on gun-related sales, even if they don't directly involve firearms with small business. This is getting really out of hand. Finding sales of items like coffee mugs, T-shirts, and even gun safety classes being stopped. If you're an alternative startup, you'd better watch out. Big technology companies won't hesitate to wield their power to silence you if you're messaging. Well, my Mike Adams has absolutely no illusions about what he's doing. He's a very highly qualified guy to be always he takes on. But he will have a splurge of people, mega people, fleeing away from YouTube. Anyway, I'm up to this 5G problem and this problem of Wi-Fi killing people and giving people cancer in every way. And I have an article now which I was just made my own memory reference to, but here it is confirming it. Is that did you know that insurance companies are not covering cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation exposure? The Lloyds of London threw that out years ago when they read the reports on it. So they carry their own risk. How Lloyds of London and out our figures this out. Okay. Excuse me. And it says the show cell phone tower here. Insurance companies are not cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation health issues. So this isn't breaking news. High-risk insurer Lloyds of London, the lead insurance company in the world, the other insurance companies usually follow what they do, won't cover any wireless radiation hazards. This includes cell phones, cell towers, digital wireless utilities, smart meters, and other wireless devices and infrastructure. Like here to see the policy. Insurance firms are also refusing to cover cell phone manufacturers and wireless carriers. They are predicting more claims. More claims and costs. 60% won't insure purveyors against future lawsuits. 60%. But I imagine the insurance that is going up there is not very well backed. And school officials replace Wi-Fi with wired internet may eventually be held liable for harm caused to students and staff. The classic case was San Diego, California, where Virginia Farber, her son, died of a shocking brain tumor because there was a cell tower right in the center of the university. But Swiss RE warns of large liability losses and climate EMF-related health issues in the highest impact category. Other technology issues they discussed including cyber attacks, power blackouts, workplace safety, and big data, all of which are worsened by digital and wireless. And he goes on to say, some cell phone companies are warning shareholders, not the customers, how they may be eventually found liable for harm caused by their products. One Australian cell phone company has been warning customers of risks, though. Decades of research has already confirmed harm from exposure to cell phone and other sources. I don't know how many decades of research of Wi-Fi radiation. Well, it's getting worse and worse as the strength goes up and up and up. Select marketing campaigns by telecom companies make new technology seem magical and harmless. However, all personal devices come with manuals that include safety guidelines, warning in the fine print that suggest otherwise. However, these guidelines are 20 years old. This makes them completely outdated and not applicable to you and multiple. It's like the toxicity level in foods is sort of thing we're dealing with today. It's twice what the label says. Other things have like on that during the week, saying that women's cosmetics are, they're fairly good standards in Europe, but they're toxic. Women's cosmetics in the United States are horrendous. And it's one of the biggest causes of breast cancer. The media has addressed this off. Addressed this off and on for many years. Recently, telecoms industry has big wireless and comparing them to big tobacco. Yeah. Although we know what they're like to deal with. Dirty dealing at every level. Safe use of technology is very important for them. and various marketing campaigns, including for, this was common for tobacco products for decades as well. Everybody knows we all have to die from something. For that pointing argument from the years, leading insurance companies, and they are refusing to do business with Big Wireless for a very good reason. Regardless, Big Wireless is going to continue to make marketing products for infrastructure from everybody from cradle to grave. I mean, there's a list of researchers who are exposing all this. Center for Safer Wireless, Center for Electronic Smog Prevention, Citizens for Safe Technology, Clear Light Ventures, Electrosense, Environmental Health Trust, Generation Zapped, In Power Movement, National Association for Children and Safe Technology, Parents for Safe Technology, etc., etc. 5G, which is coming up above this again, which will be deadly. So that 5G row is beginning to explode right now. But just staying on the same thing of this Daily Mail UK article, asked, could Wi-Fi be giving kids cancer? Researcher says yes to cancer and other behavioral, emotional, and mental, physical issues. Sure. And B.N. Frank is writing this issue. And he's saying, again, pretty much we all knew, published on June 21st, 2018, this week, top cancer expert Professor Anthony Miller was interviewed by the Daily Mail article. Professor Miller of Toronto University couldn't be blunter, saying Wi-Fi should not be allowed in schools. Well, they're beginning to do that in some Britain and Irish schools. They will not allow children to bring mobile phones to school. Professor Miller, who was director of Canada's National Cancer Institute Epidemiology Unit, has held posts in the World Health Organization and German Cancer Research Center. He is not alone in his fears. He has the latest in a long line of top scientists to warn that the waves of electromagnetic constantly wash over all of us, dubbed electronic smog, even by some academics, may cause a future cancer epidemic. Well, I'm telling you, we'll have to do a thing on maybe Patrick Wood, who's about 5G. 5G is an absolute, multiplying that by about 1,000 times, 5G will do to us. This isn't the first time Professor Miller has spoken out about with, spoken with such conviction. Additionally, according to the article, Professor Anthony Miller believes that new research, including a study that suggested fivefold increase in brain cancer risk of mobile phones, should cause the agency to upgrade the classic as carcinogens. Some schools in the U.S. and around the world have already been following the precautionary principle, replacing Wi-Fi with wired internet. Some have also limited the use of cell-top wireless infrastructure for being installed on school property. Oh, well, they're waking up eventually, aren't they? A bit late now. According to the article, though, this is not happening in the UK, despite evidence that it should be. Well, it's beginning to. The Daily Mail is campaigning, blowing the lid off this. 18 years after a landmark official inquiry headed by former government chief scientists recommending a raft of measures to reduce this kind of radiation, virtually nothing has been done. In the meantime, we have effectively been conducting a massive medical experiment on ourselves and our children, who some campaigners are now referring to as Generation Zapped, for the fact that human beings have never been exposed to anything like this. The obsequious electronic smog from mobile phones, Wi-Fi, baby monitors, smart energy meters, and a host of other internet-connected products is a billion times stronger than the natural electromagnetic fields in which living cells developed over the last 3,800 years. The Daily Mail article is full of great information, including its references to research confirming harm caused by other sources. Daily Mail sizes are very upsetting immediately. It's the most read newspaper website in the world now, even though Piers Morgan is one of the land-in editors. And they're saying here an awful lot of cell towers are placed on top of fire. Target gauge unions in America and in Britain are beginning to go after this. If firefighters are concerned about exposure to cell towers and antennas, maybe everybody should be 5G replaced by 7G. go firefighters and settle them for these for radiation exposure. Seven national citizens saying if you so that's a nuclear war. Cell phone industry wins right to continue not warning public about radiation. Imagine that. And another contradiction in terms of legislation. Again, fragmentation of all of us. Win-lose, but the industry marches on. Examining rules of form of exercise. Anyway, okay. Firefighters are concerned about exposure to cell towers and antennas, and everything, maybe everybody else should be as well. And they're saying here, if firefighters are willing to run and leap and climb and jump into burning buildings and forests but aren't willing to be subjected to prolonged periods of radiation exposure from cell towers and antennas, maybe the rest of us shouldn't be willing to do it either. The International Association of Firefighters made its stance known 14 years ago. But it's happened in the interim. We're going to a break. I don't hear any music.
What is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee.
International Association of Firefighters' position on locating cell towers, commercial wireless infrastructures, or on fire department facilities, as adopted by its membership in 2004, is that the IAFF opposed the use of fire stations as base stations for towers and or antennas for the conduction of cell phone transmission until a study with the highest scientific merit and integrity on health effects exposure to low Ken has asked me a question. I'll just reply to it 1 second. Hey. I don't know if we're on a break or not. I can hear you now. Is there an ad going on or not? No, I couldn't. Okay.
Up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, back in for the break. Sorry, I didn't hear the music going out to the break. A bit of a collision there. But anyway, we continue on reading this article about firefighters, quite rightly, complaining. A lot of fire stations in the United States and in Britain have cell towers on top of them, and they are feeling the effects of that. And they're complaining like hell. They've been complaining for 14 years, it would appear. They're saying here, the International Association of Firefighters' position on locating cell towers, commercial wireless infrastructure on fire department facilities, as adopted by its membership in 2004, is that the Fire Union IAFF opposed the use of fire stations as base stations for towers and antennas for the conduction of cell power transmissions until a study with the highest scientific merit and integrity on health effects of exposure to low intensity RFMW radiation is conducted. This has proven that such sightings are now hazardous to the health of our members, quite rightly so. And U.S. firefighters groups have long opposed cell towers and antennas on their stations. In California, they fought to prevent them from due to health appearance. But I wonder, did they win that one? There's a May 2018 CBS News story from Sacramento, California, about the installation of 5G small cell towers. References complaints about San Francisco firefighters. All sources of cell phones and wireless Wi-Fi are not magic. They never have been. Decades of research from government and independent industries. Military scientists have already proven harm. In 2011, the World Health Organization, the WHO, classified all sources of cell phone and wireless radiation as a possible carcinogen in the same category as chloroform. But on and on it goes. So those major organizations are kicking cell towers and cell radiation. But it would appear they're steaming ahead with the installing of 5G in America. That's shocking. Just beginning here in the Britain. But the remedies for radiation exposures. So we'll leave that one by. That cell phone industry wins the right to continue not warning the public about radiation. I mean, where does this end? Cell phone manufacturers have actually been warning their shareholders, not customers, that they will be held liable for the harm they cause. In the meantime, though, they want to keep harm and exposure they are actively perpetrating. So we've covered that before. But there's no end to it. Attack, attack, attack. I can't think of a better. On every level and every day, we're living under multi-layered criminal syndicates, and we're being attacked on every level. I mean, and we have that's the multinationals, the corporations, the government, and then we have these left-wing lunatics attacking the very decent aspects, every decent aspect of society. Oh dear. And then the next one again. Literally, bad news here. The deadly pattern of collusion, both industry and regulators aware of the dangers of pesticides. It says we knew that. New study reveals that the malaria parasite can affect you as deep as your bone marrow. Fucking hours ago, and it says taxpayers shell out $2.5 billion after. Held a 3-year-old girl at gunpoint as he mother, right? And this is Chicago, Illinois, and that's a lawless part of the world, that's for sure. Reading out the headers of these articles, I'll get to some of them by the end of the program. Bayer and Monsanto, a match made in hell. Absolutely, it is. And one card rule all the world system card, I'm sure. And the person who fruits. Foodstream Media writing this from China, World Citizen, and probably microchipped in the process. And eight potent nutrients that can kill cancer, macro medicine can kill cancer. And that over the counter pain medicine mess with your head. Studies suggest that they suppress physical pain, they also suppress empathy and emotional pain. Yeah. Look at the photographs of these guys committing school shootings. There are their minds. Their eyes don't even focus, but SSRIs are being manipulated into doing it by, we know, the deep state. I just steal one of a few of these articles. This Bayer-Monsanto merger that's going on, which is an absolute outrage. It's an absolute outrage that Trump is allowing it. Sorry, Bayer and Monsanto, a match made in hell. James Corbett writing this article. It's hardly surprising that the first thing Bayer did after completing their takeover of Monsanto earlier this month was to announce that they were dropping the name Monsanto. We just used the two names, Bayer and Monsanto, name, merging the two companies. Agrichemical division under the Bayer Corp science name. After all, as everyone knows, Monsanto is one of the most hated corporations in the world. But Bayer itself has an equally atrocious history of death and destruction. Together, they are a match made in hell. And actually, it goes on to show a video but we'll follow it up in the weeks to come, because there's a never-ending stream of stories at Edmonton and their roundup, which you can't grow GMO foods here. And Bigger Laz used Roundup, and I had another bizarre, disturbed situation that we're all subject to. We have to hear background music for that. Auto the hour break. We should be back in 2 or 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, okay?
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
And we're coming back in from the bottom of the outbreak of the third hour today. But and I should give out the phone number again. I think everybody's asleep today. They've been boring them to death. But the phone number is 800-313-9443. And we're playing around with a new system today. Yeah, probably delete it next week. It's probably my computer. I have an old computer here. It's causing 10 problems. We'll battle on and we'll modify it in the meantime. But last week I read out a list of disturbed, well, the week before, we were here last week, I did a repeat. These disturbed professors in universities are absolute bunkers. And said, if you believe in healthy eating, you are bigoted, intolerant, and Americans, say leftist professor. Imagine an adult saying a thing like this. And Ethan Huff is writing this article. Just when you thought there was nothing left for liberals to politicize, along comes a pair of feminists. Oh, probably a bulldog lesbian as well. Along comes a pair of feminist sisters and college professors who say that the concept of healthy eating is essentially racist. Stemming from primarily white Western values, oh, I see, that are culturally centered around athletic performance, longevity, and being thin. Well, that's the main concept of being a human being. concepts that apparently not everyone in the world cares about. And here's the two people involved here. Allison Hayes Conway, professor at Temple University in Philadelphia, and her sister, Jessica Haynes Conway, her actual sisters, I think, a couple, as instructor of a feminist health, an instructor of feminist health at a small college in upstate New York, recently wrote a book that outlines their theory that healthy eating is a subject concept that differs from culture to culture. Of course, it would. Mainstream nutrition science and claim is based upon elite white education modes of thinking that simply aren't universal. This is white privilege being got at again. I love that. The claim that nutrition science is neutral, in other words, it's a perpetrator error. They insist calls for healthy eating are purely factual, in their opinion, and largely remain embedded in contemporary cultural politics. Countless recent studies offer insight, they're quoting these women, into weight loss, longevity, and rapid reform, all predominant Western culture. They probably deny there's an obesity epidemic. I have to put my hand up on that one. One of the things about nutrition research that Hayes Conway is what they perceive as careless about the plight of agricultural workers. Many of whom are illegal immigrants, close out of the border. They point out to an ongoing boycott at risk of farms, a large-scale supplier of domestic strawberries, as one prominent example. These are all a big supermarket and Walmart buying operation. That's for the problem. Clue about how the world works. As we write this, a strawberry boycott is ongoing, protesting fiscal farm workers. Well, it's just about as bad in Amazon warehouses, by the way. Pick up about that, which they should. They've been had up here in Britain by the Department of Labour several times for running slave labour operations in their warehouses. And yet, she says, it's rare in the myriad calls for eating fresh fruits and vegetables. The strikers and boycotts mentioned in the same breath as healthy. And this one is nuts. They also point to differences in nutrition as well. Pre and post-World War II, before the war, eating well meant eating economically and knowing exactly how many calories different bodies needed. Different bodies. Based on occupation, gender, age, and war. But during the war, it was all about people eating foods that would give workers stamina. But food was rationed during the war, dear. And went on for 5 years after the war as well. That's the reality. And I don't think it happened in America, but it happened in Britain. And same sister duo says farmers and markets are bad because they represent spaces of whiteness. Oh my God, imagine this clock is there. I'll just read this ridiculous article down. Put it down as humor. But what about the recent resurgence of fracking and the gradual societal shift away from processed, refined foods? Surely this is a universally positive change that makes the Hayes Conway sisters happy, right? Wrong. You know you'd be wrong to presume that. So-called clean eating is another symptom of what's in the area of nutrition, they say. Even farmers' markets are problematic, and they represent spaces of whiteness. So it's not the food, it's the people that are selling the food. And apparently include people of different skin colors. There's nothing good about anything relating to healthy food in the West, unless, of course, it's being propagated by immigrants and people of color. I see, which the Hayes Conway sisters are quick to embrace as aligning with their feminist ideals. In order to adopt the ethos of doing nutrition in the way they would like, the Hayes Conway suggest that radical non-judgment is the first step. Radical non-judgment. Just bury yourself. Get a forgotten and bury yourself. We shouldn't exist, you see. This is the hardcore left of sustainability. We humans are the problem at every level. And if it's not that, then it's the racist thing. And so what they mean by this is letting go of the belief that there way to eat well, and instead accepting that bodily nourishment is complex scientifically, culturally, and socially. In other words, if one group of people feels as though eating Twinkies and drinking Mountain Dew for breakfast every day is healthy, then they are correct. If another group prefers vegetables, then they're also correct. In a racial non-judgment paradigm, nobody can be wrong, so just do whatever feels right here. No responsibility and no linchpin of the left and political correctness. Just learned helplessness and indescribableness, basically, of the human mind. And it's coming at the end of this article. It says, it's the embodiment of a bizarre doctrine of leftism, taking an anything-goes approach to pretty much everything, just so long as anything doesn't involve someone playing their way is the only right way. This is where leftist tolerance ends. And, okay, that's just another example of these two lunatics Western University. Can you believe that? Absolutely unhinged. Totally unhinged. But, it said nuclear false flag. Did left-wing mega donor call for a nuclear bomb false flag to annihilate Trump? This I read pre-read this article. This guy is a billionaire, and his name is. The longer President Trump remains in office, the more unsettled and perpetually angry leftists become. Trump derangement syndrome. Here's writing this article, J.D. Hayes. That's absolutely insane. But they're developing this thing of Trump derangement syndrome, which is a relevant kind of phrase. And so that's absolutely insane. There were many on the right who were certainly not fans of Barack Obama, but as far as we know, no conservative ever called for a nuclear war so we could get rid of him. As reported by the Washington Free Beacon, this guy... I left out his last sentence here. Trump derangement syndrome has gotten so bad that liberal billionaire Tom Steyer is actually pining for a nuclear war that would kill tens of millions. So there would be a real course for correction for our country. This guy's a billionaire. How did he get a billionaire with a mind like that? Steyer, who launched a national impeachment campaign against President last year, spoke with the liberal magazine about his efforts, which have Democrats like House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Interviewing Tom Dickinson pointed out Pelosi's strategy of opposing impeachment of President George Bush to take the issue off the table in 2006. The Democrats looked back both chambers of Congress in an electoral vote that year. Steyer said that he remembers 2006 and that Bush was responsible for importing America in two disastrous wars, which weren't really disastrous except to the left, and one which was tied to our country being attacked in 2011. That's just absolute crap. But this is very badly written, this article. But the guy, billionaire, promoting that as an idea. How about that? More insanity. The dangers of pesticides, a deadly pattern of collusion and deceit. Both industry and regulators are aware of the dangers of pesticides. Well, we know the government agencies are working hand in glove with these chemical companies. And until that is broken up, nothing will be done. I'll just go on to this article to finish out some of the program today. When corporations' good interests and government agencies collide, you get a veritable Pandora's box of corruption. Collusion and deceit, and when those corporate interests include toxic pesticides, you get the poison papers. Collectively, the poison papers are 20,000 pages of documents which prove government agencies and industry cronies have worked together to obscure the truth about pesticides. Herbicides and other toxic chemicals for years. Leaders of the agriculture industry and government regulators alike are fully aware of the tremendous risk these chemical toxins pose not just to human health, but to the health of our planet, as we know, or at this point used to know, and they haven't just sat idly by twiddling their thumbs. They have actively deceived the public and even regarding the safety of these products. Indeed, regulatory processes we have relied upon to protect us and our environment here in the United States nothing more than flimsy, fraudulent schemes that ultimately serve corporate interests instead of the people of this country. Sure. I mean, Heather here says, decades of deceit from ministry leaders in Heather. The Bioscience Resource Project. Center for Media and Democracy. Suspect names straight away. Put together an inventory of chemical industry and regulatory agency documents stating that century worth of collusion and lies on record. Oh, yes, it is. Dr. Jonathan Latham, executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project, commented on the project and declared, these documents represent a tremendous trove of hidden or lost evidence on chemical regulatory activity and chemical safety. What is most striking about these documents is that they focus on the activities of regulators. Time and time again, regulators went to the extreme lengths of setting up secret committees, deceiving the media and the public, and covering up evidence, human exposure, and human things. They're basically working for the multinational. Again, the same problem. These secret activities extend to increasing human exposure, blah, blah, blah. But the multinationals, and they talk about culture, they're just, they own them. I knew that in 1992. The Federal Department of Ag, etc. But saying another one just on the farm industry, OTC, over-the-counter pain medicines, mess with your head. Studies suggest that they suppress physical, as they suppress physical pain, they also suppress empathy and emotional pain. Sure, and Michelle Simmons is writing this article saying the following. In the study review, research team analyzed seven studies published between 2010 and 2016. Researchers started out looking at these OTC pain over-the-counter medications' effect on psychology because they have been debates in the literature of brain if brain regions responsive to physical pain and also responsive to social pain are also responsive to social pain. The lead author, Kyle Ratner, an assistant professor of psychological and brain sciences, blah, blah, blah. Study under review published in 2016. The ability of people to empathize with others might go down after atropomorphine is taken. The researchers of that study found that the participants were less when they read about other people's suffering of physical, emotional. Okay. Going into a bit of a round in circles on this one. But we're giving a list here of helpful natural painkillers, and they say ginger. The extract of ginger may help relieve joint and muscle pain as it contains psychochemicals that help relieve inflammation. And turmeric, yes, is a fantastic herb. Turmeric, a type of spice is used to ease arthritis pain and heartburn as well as reduce inflammation. Its activity may be because of a chemical called curcumin, which is tied to the same name, turmeric, which contains anti-inflammatory characteristics. And devil's claw, this herb, which originates in South Africa, may be effective in treating arthritis and lower back pain. It's a better element. That so many people with arthritis have been shocking, but that is a useful list of items again in natural news again. But excuse me. Yes, another police thuggery report. Bad apple, multiple cops arrested in massive conspiracy, stealing tens of thousands from taxpayers. And it says, saying here, going far and beyond simple cheating in their time cards, three Massachusetts state troopers have been arrested and charged with embezzlement. According to allegations brought against the troopers, they stole tens of thousands of dollars and they billed the state for overtime. They either did not work or time they stole when they clocked out early. Officers are Paul Sesson, Gary Heyman, and David Wilson. 2016 Station is believed to have embezzled $29,000, Herman $12,000, and Wilson $12,000. He managed to a year's salary for some hourly workers. Following the discovery, Mason Wilson resigned and Herman was suspended. Not in jail, just resigned and suspended. In other words, the officers issue tickets, presumably. They said they altered citations they had given here as though they were given during overtime hours, or in some cases, they alleged they made up on tickets that they were never actually being issued. In other words, the officers issued tickets presumably to unsuspecting citizens, but forced the time on the ticket to appear that they were working overtime. This is called lying by all intents. Crime took place when they cashed in their paychecks over the overtime they simply never. Federal offences came to light under the microscope of a broader investigation into the policing. Total 21 officers were stealing overtime pay from the state. An internal audit of state salaries and policies. And the bill of measures were something on the other place. So yeah, another an even worse story here. Further down.
My name is Don Wischen, and at 42 years old, I suffered
after a cop held a 3-year-old girl at gunpoint as he beat her handcuffed mother. Right? This was in Chicago, Illinois. What a place that is. And Matt Agoris is writing this article. He's saying, this week the taxpayers of Chicago were told they would be footing the bill to the tune of $2.5 million to pay for an excessive force lawsuit that accused police of holding a 3-year-old little girl at gunpoint while beating her handcuffed mother. The lawsuit stems from the search warrant carried out in the home of Arthea Simmons in 2013 during the raid. 5 years to get this to court. During the raid, according to the lawsuit, the entire family was severely abused. The 3-year-old suffered severe mental trauma, labeled as experts as one of the worst cases of Chicago Police Department ever seen. On August 29, 2013, Chicago police executed a search warrant at a Chicago home in hopes of finding a drug dealer. Cops barged in the home of 3-year-old Davinia Simmons, where she lived, and with her grandparents and mother, Anthony Simmons. An officer pointed and held a loaded gun at point-blank range to the chest of 3-year-old Davinia, reported in the Observer. During the raid, according to the lawsuit, Simmons alleged that police threatened her small daughter, but she said the girl saw police violently shake and strike Simmons and point a gun at the head of the girl's grandmother. According to the lawsuit, while officers were searching the home, Davinia saw and heard an officer throwing her dolls, other toys, and bedroom furniture. Police were looking for an alleged drug dealer identified as Alonzo McFadden, who was in no way related to the Simmons family and did not live there. The entire raid and abuse were due to a mistake on the address of the warrant by semi-illiterate police. Over the course of the lawsuit, the city produced documents that led to the allegations of perjury. The documents, according to Simmons' lawsuit, the officers were never disciplined for their role in holding a gun to the chest of a dog, beating her handcuffed mother, and assaulting the grandmother as well. Absolutely obscene. And just going on a bit. Not until further, 3 years after the escape, they take accountability for their alleged misdemeanors of Simmons. The officers found up. Family. The officers accused of the crimes in Simmons' case lose their police powers. However, it's not for their abuse in 2013. According to the lawsuit, the officers were caught justifying an arrest with false claims that are similar to claims made by the Simmons family. The Bureau of Internal Affairs allegedly sought out the officers, firing after they decided they lied under oath to a criminal trial, etc. And it goes on and on and on. But at least the people now got compensation. Again, police walking free, that should be again and again and again. But there's one on the story on the right of police tasering a young guy they picked up for not sitting down in his cell They've tied him to a chair and tasered him 15 times. And a few months later, the guy died. It's an absolutely obscene case of police torture. On and on it goes at every level. To pull Greg Roberts' articles this year. He writes outstanding stuff about what is going on. And the bills being passed by Congress regarding immigrants, etc. More of them here. Last article, leftists claim to care about children, but they say nothing on American children. Being kidnapped by rogue government CPS agents, etc. I don't hear a break coming up again. Got a break? Clock is ticking here. Okay. Talk to me, Ken. Can't hear anything. Okay. We hear you now. Okay, we just go. Okay. Last article of the day about Ethan Huff talking about the polling carry on by children being trafficked by the CPS. Wondering magician doing quick mainstream media is desperately trying to keep one eyes off the new Inspector General. IG's report, including its publishing of fake news reports about illegal alien children being separated from their parents at the Mexican border. What the latest bout of manufactured outrage illustrates once again is that the left couldn't care less about children's lives, seeing as how they never make a peep about all the American children who are separated from their parents by a deeply corrupt child protection service. The same in the UK here. The family courts are secret courts. And it's an Christopher Booker in the Telegraph has been trying to get broken apart for years. And Theresa May was the Home Secretary for years, this going on, and nothing was done about it. Absolutely nothing. But it said it happens every single day. The parental rights of Americans are unconstitutionally stripped from them by rogue that routinely violates the Fourth Amendment and due process. There are so many examples of CPS against innocent parents that it would take hundreds of articles to cover them all. One of these is taking place this very moment in Mississippi. That's officials reportedly abducted a man's young daughter under false pretenses. After his ex-wife decided to skip town on his year-old daughter, Bella. Okay. We're coming up to the end of the program now. And as to say, we'll be more organized next week. Now, we'll see you then.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.